Hi, my name is Anna Friend. I'm 47, and last year, or maybe sometime before that, I entered that unknown black hole, the perimenopause. Since then, I have discovered that even the mere mention of the M word can evoke an internal shiver from all corners of society, and this made me wonder why. Specifically, why the hell aren't we talking more about menopause? After all, it's happening to 50% of the population and is an absolute certainty for all cis women. So what's the problem? And why do we have such difficulty addressing health matters for women? So I decided to talk to women. From those that are facing the climb, viewing the mountain from afar, to those that have conquered the summit. Sort of. Yes, lots and lots of women who have shared their experiences, their viewpoints and their top tips. And my hope is that by doing this, we can start turning this ship around and stop referring to the menopause as some sort of end of usefulness type bollocks and see it for its positive possibilities. So here we go. Me and my merry band of hormonal goddesses, we're taking on the change. In this week's episode, I talk with the outspoken and completely awesome Rachel Fleming. Rachel is a yoga practitioner, healer, and total advocate of self-care for menopausal and perimenopausal women. She also has an incurable love of dungarees and refuses to give up her afternoon nap. Bravo. All hail the tip queen, Rachel Fleming.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Rachel, how old are you?
I'm 49.
49. And are you... Would you consider yourself to be in menopause or perimenopause or where are you at?
I am in menopause. Well, my last period was 7 months ago.
Oh, wow. So, yes, you are, definitely.
I'm in it. I'm in it.
I'm immersed. Yeah. Like it's a piece of creative theatre, you're immersed in that.
I'm just up to the top of my head. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So just tell me a bit about your relationship with menopause and your experiences.
Wow, that's a question.
I know, it's big, isn't it? I know it is. We have got time. So you could give me the highlights or the lowlights or both. I don't mind.
So before I came on to talk to you, I pulled out all of my old journals, well, the ones that I could find, and this, I've got this one here, and I opened it up, and this journal starts at the beginning of my perimenopause.
And how old were you when you kind of felt confirmed perimenopausal?
Well, 43, I want to say.
Yeah.
And the reason I know that it starts here is because I used to track my periods. And when I look back into the beginning of this journal, my cycle started to change when I started writing this journal.
Yeah.
I had one before this, but this is weirdly as this started. So I know exactly when it happened. And then not long after that, I had a massive crash. And I had adrenal burnout.
Was that related to your cycle?
Absolutely. No. Wow. So basically since then, so let's open it up. When would it have been? 24th February 2015.
Does it start with the word fuck? Because I feel like it should.
Many of my, maybe not my entries, many of my conversations start with the word fuck. Yeah.
So, and have you always journaled? This is a sidebar, but have you always done that?
I started journaling when I was 35.
Yeah. And why did you do that?
Because I was in therapy at the time. I had a managing therapist and she's like, do this. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to do that. So I started doing it. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
How is it brilliant? Tell me, because I'm sure people listening, you know, I really want people to be able to listen to this podcast and pick up tips, if you like.
Oh, yeah. I've got like a big house full of tips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I am the tip queen around
menopause.
That's
the title of this episode now. Rachel, the tip queen.
Because I've lived it, right? Lived it. And, you know, if it doesn't work, I chuck it out. And it does, you know, not everything works for everyone. But yeah, so I started when I was 35 and, you know, your hormonal landscape, just to give you a caveat to this or a backdrop,
yeah.
I am a women's yoga teacher and I teach women's yoga therapy, and I love teaching perimenopausal women. Anyway, so, but so our hormonal landscape changes at the age of 35. So I am such a big advocate saying to any woman I know at that age, I'm like, they're going, oh, I feel a bit this. And I'm like, it might be perimenopause. That's no judgment on who or where you are, but like, know it so you know it.
Yeah.
Like, don't think, oh, it could be this. Like, find this shit out. And, you know,
is that. And that speaks to the shame, doesn't it, a little bit? Because I know that's come up a lot for people, is this idea that menopause equals shame, or what it means is, oh, now you're old. So if you even mention the word menopause in relation to yourself, it's like you're sort of tagging yourself, like, I'm past it, I'm old, I'm on the decline. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I'll speak to anyone about the menopause, especially older men. They're my favourite. Like, you know, men in their 70s, they get a lot of chat from me about menopause.
Mm.
Whether they like it or not. Yeah, so it's really important to.
And where are they at with it?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm being light about this, but I'm enough with the eye rolling already.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. Because one of the things, I mean, there are many, many, many reasons why I wanted to do this podcast, but, and actually I think interestingly, when I started, it was one thing, and kind of even now, and I'm only like middle into it, I feel like there's a whole other agenda that needs addressing, which is the value that is attached to women in our stage of life, and how it's like, well, if you're not going to be able to have babies and sort of be fertile, I don't know, sexual creatures or whatever, there's a sort of relationship with our sexuality, our sensuality to menopause, which is bullshit. And there's a relationship to our vagina about menopause, which again is bullshit. And it's like, I don't know, it's like there's an instant devaluing, which I find really contradictory to actually how I feel about myself at this stage of life. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can't even remember what you asked me now, but we were.
Oh, God, about... sorry.
No, it's fine. It's like the beginning.
Well, we were talking about, this is the best conversation. We were talking about journaling and why.
Journaling.
Well, and then you're talking about hormonal landscapes adjusting, changing around the age of 35. Okay.
So that's when I started, and I was journaling then around, you know, being in therapy and like, you know, figuring stuff out. And then as I got older, I don't know, I became a yoga teacher when I was 37, 38. And then I studied sort of around, I studied women's yoga very quickly after I did a classical kind of hatha yoga training. And I was like, boom, you know, I was like, oh my God, this is what my body wants. And so I completely immersed myself in that. I got pregnant very quickly after my first training. And after I became a mother, so I got twins, my body, you know, basically all of the stuff this has happened around menopause has happened since. So I became a mum when I was 40.
Mm.
And I sort of, my postnatal phase and my perimenopausal phase blended.
Coincided.
God, that's a bad combo.
Yeah.
So
how did that impact on you? Because I mean, I definitely after my first child, I kind of experienced some difficulties.
It's shaped me completely. It's made me who I am now. I mean, my menopause has been a really deeply spiritual experience. And I'm very passionate about it. So the journaling at that time was around my cycle. And I started sitting in circle. I don't know if you know what that means, but no. Like, okay. So sitting in circle is, it's a community of women. You come together, but you sit in the circle. So it means that everyone's facing each other. This sort of a sacred container, or, you know, a careful container, you know, it's made like a special thing. It's not just a chitty chatty gossipy thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And so you physically did that. So you sat with a bunch of women.
I physically did it. And now I now I do them. Now I host them, hold them, hold space for them, facilitate them. And I've been doing that
for 10 years. How did you find that? Did you come across it? Were you recommended it? Or
I came to it through my training. And so my training in women's yoga and women's yoga therapy, and we would sit in circle. I mean, you know, and it goes back to lots of traditions. I mean, and nursery kids do it. They have circle time.
Yeah, 100%.
Like primary schools. So it is about deep respect and listening, but it's fantastic for women. And
I mean, as part of a drama training, obviously that's what we spend.
We're always in circles. What's amazing about it is each woman, you know, there's often so I do it from a yoga perspective often. So there's movement and there's rest, and women are knackered, right? They are knackered, especially in their 40s. Because we're trying to fit this body, how it used to be, into this super fast paced lifestyle, and your body's going, no, this is not the time for it. So it gives you amazing space to share all the stuff you share. So all of that stuff started to feed in to all of the journaling stuff. It was kind of all part of the same thing. So
can
when I
just ask you a question about the journaling, just very briefly. So in the Tip Queen, so with journaling, is it a record of anything and everything? I mean, were you recording physical symptoms? Was it mostly well-being, how you felt? Can it be anything?
It can be anything. Yeah. It can be anything. I have journals for everything. So this is my dream journal. This is my old work. I'm probably about 5 of them. I would say don't have that many, but
I have a number of books that do different things also.
Yeah. But I do have a work journal and a personal journal. So my personal journal now is like gold. It's this beautiful gold thing. And that I used to chart my cycles in that. So the way I would chart my cycles is, you know, I put on the day of, so day one is, and I call it the bleed. It's very hippie, isn't it? But you're bleeding, like, say it.
Yes, you know. Yes.
So, you know, this is a part of your reclaiming the language as well. So day one of your bleed is the first day that you start your period. And then when you can do it every day, but I never did. You write down day, whatever, and then how your body feels, how you feel emotionally, anything else. And then what is amazing as you build this up and have some kind of consistency to it, then you look back and you notice patterns. This is when you're a menstruating, cycling, bleeding woman. You notice patterns of, you know, how am I when I ovulate? Super high.
Oh, you know, my God. And ovulation is such an event in my calendar.
Well, yeah. And, you know, this mixed. So some people feel amazing, super, super effective, super charged. But I would say as I got into my 40s, super pissy. Super pissy. The high energy for me as I got older was really hard. And then, you know, and then you can start to manage your work around your cycle. Like, don't do this on day, if you have a 30 day cycle, and everyone has a different cycle. 28 days is not the norm. So that's a good thing to know. 24 days, 36 days, whatever. So if you're on, say if you've got a 30 day cycle, if you're on day 28, don't be doing a marathon or that much admin, because you won't be able to do it. It's a game changer.
How fascinating. Because the other thing that I think it could be really useful for, because this is coming up time and again in quite a few of the conversations that I'm having, is that there's a lack of joined up thinking, not from women necessarily, and whether they're journaling or whether they're just sort of aware and noting patterns. But when they then take that to the medical profession and say, I think that I'm in perimenopause, I think all of these different things that I'm experiencing, from dry eyes to brain fog, to whatever, because And there just doesn't seem to be that connection made with so the doctors are then saying to them, you're too young, or, well, you're still having your period, so you're not in menopause, or, well, there's nothing we can really do. You know, there's no, and women suffering for years and years before they actually get somewhere and get something. So I suppose journaling could be a very effective tool in actually saying, look, here's the fucking evidence. I can tell you that on day 28, this starts happening to me. It's hormonal. These are the reasons.
Yeah. And that's how I knew I was in perimenopause, because of my journal. Because 6 months after I started, I looked back and I was like, I got poorly in this month. And then I looked and I was like, 24 day cycle.
Mm.
Next month, 24 day cycle. Next month, 24 day cycle. I was like, oh, month after that. And then the month after that, 28 day cycle. And then I was
everything was changing.
I'm perimenopausal. Mm. Like, and I said to my GP, I'm perimenopausal. I think I might be. And she was like, no, you're too young. And now I'm like, you're a woman. Like,
I know. Yeah,
so yeah. I'm not, I don't love GPs. I don't love the collective of GPs. I love some GPs. I know some, but yeah, I think they've had a bad deal in terms of their training around menopause.
100%. I think so. And I think that that conversation will start changing, partly because I think there's a lot of women who are standing up and doing some stuff. But yeah, I think that my conversation with my GP, which was last year. So I don't really, it's interesting. I'm so interested in this journal idea. I don't know if I'm perimenopausal or whether, because last year in lockdown, I had a kind of few months where there was just some crazy shit going on. Like, my head was so itchy. It was horrendous all the time. And I noticed that I was really irritable, but, you know, beyond rage, like, my husband shouldn't have been around me, you know, just, and it got to a worrying stage with that. But my periods were still regular, more regular than they'd ever been. I'd always been 28 to 36 days, kind of blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly I was 28 days, which actually, now that you've said that thing about 24 days, that the fact that my period has changed and become super regular is actually, that's it, isn't it? That's perimenopause.
Well, it's absolutely different for every woman.
Yeah.
But what I would say, because I speak to a lot of women about this, if you're having the beyond rage, that's a pretty big sign.
Yeah. I mean, but the interesting thing is that it's completely gone now.
And well, I had
this for it was mostly about 2 months over the summer. And it was, you know, we had been in lockdown. I'd lost all of my income. You know, there was a lot of stresses and strains.
Yeah.
I spoke to my doctor and said, could this be perimenopause? Could it be a hormonal thing? And her response was just, A, very dismissive and sort of a bit like, well, if it is, pay. And then her first option for me was to put me on antidepressants.
Oh my God.
I was just like, are you fucking joking? I think I even said that to her. And I specifically asked for a female doctor, and I knew her, I'd seen her in person. She's my age. And actually, my experience with her had always been very positive. Specifically asked for her. And I think I said something like, so women have been going through the menopause forever. Let's just say that. And this is where we've got to. This is the solution, that there's been no other headway or progress, that your option for me is to take a low dose of antidepressants. I'm not depressed. I wouldn't have a problem if I was, and I would certainly take medication, and that's fine. But I'm not. I'm perimenopausal. I'm experiencing a hormonal imbalance, and this is your option for me. I didn't take it. And actually, I've made quite a lot of lifestyle changes, and that seems to have created some balance for me.
Great.
But I was stunned by that response, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Standard.
And I mean, how many women then go, oh, okay, I'll take those tablets then.
And do we say to our female GPs, what would you do in my position? Would you take the you know, would you take the meds?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So don't give it to me.
But it's also that whole kind of thing of like, let's medicate them down. Let's medicate this kind of dumbing down of.
Yeah. So think about it, happens on all of our rites of passage of women. The menarche or the menarche, which is our first bleed, put you on the pill. You know, pregnancy, get you into hospital, cut you open, pump you full of drugs. Perimenopause, menopause. Enough. You know, it's like, it's about reclaiming our, you know, agency and sovereignty over our own bodies. Mm. You know, it's like, I really hear you about that. I feel, I hate going to the doctor because I always come back thinking, don't belittle me. I'm a bright, well-educated, instinctive woman. My body knows what the fuck is going on.
Mm.
So, yeah. And, you know, I'm a bit more chilled about it now than I was a few years back, even though that probably doesn't seem that like I am. But
no, you know, but I would have liked to have met you a few years back. We would have marched together.
To be very British, I was cross. I was cross.
So
much of the time.
Can you reach into your journal for me now and find... Is there an entry?
And there's lots about being tired.
Yeah.
I would say that. Tiredness was the real...
And that fatigue can be debilitating. I mean, I think people don't really talk about that enough. That actually, when I was pregnant, in my first pregnancy and in my second, actually, the biggest thing for me in those first 3 months wasn't morning sickness. I was just struggling to be awake most of the time. And again, there's that whole thing of like, well, you're pregnant, you know, oh, we'll get on with it. You know, and it's like, but I'm like, I can't function, you know, it's,
most of the stuff that I can see is tiredness.
Yeah.
I'm tired. So when this adrenal fatigue thing hit, it got to a stage where I had to get up. My kids were 3. So I had to get up and feed the kids. And then I would have to come into my living room, this living room.
Yeah, beautiful
living room. Find TV programs that were 15 minutes long. And I would lie on my rug and I trained myself to sleep for 15. I couldn't stand up. I mean, you know, and I had a year and a half of GPs and blood tests and being dismissed. And I knew... Do you know about the adrenal glands?
I wanted you to, I was just waiting, but I wanted to for you to just clarify that adrenal fatigue.
Okay. Yeah. So adrenal fatigue, I mean, I was fortunate enough to know a little bit about this. And, you know, I can give you loads of resources that you can put in show notes.
Right. Yes, there. Yes.
I mean, like, you know, books. But so your adrenal glands are little, like, sort of thumb-shaped glands about, like, I'm not a scientist. I just know this from what I've read, right?
Yeah.
Above your kidneys. So, and there are two functions to them, I understand. And I, you know, you would have to go into this because I don't remember everything. But they are responsible for production of cortisol and adrenaline.
Right.
Right?
Cortisol.
So when we are stressed out, also something that happens as we transition sort of further into our late 30s and 40s, and this is a super key for so many things, our ovaries stop making the sex hormones and different parts of the body make your sex hormones, the adrenal glands being one of them. But if you're thumped, you know, they fry. And it's very hard to test for that. I mean, I could go on forever, but
so
it's...
So when you say when you're thumped, do you mean the experience of physical trauma or...
When you're depleted.
Right.
Physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yes.
So stress does it, dehydration does it.
Yep.
you know, and if you're postnatal, especially, that can be a real thing. So having kids older, that's a thing. But what happens is, as we come into our 40s, there's so many changes with how we produce our hormones that we have to have this steady, balanced movement practice, diet, and rest. Mm-hmm. Rest. That is my mantra. That is my jam. That is what I put out into the world.
Which is interesting, because I do think that there is a real slur and a shame on sort of literal sleep and kind of not, and just taking time. I think there's this kind of lazy thing, and it's like, but you know, for good health, there are so many different aspects that you need, and sleep is one of them.
Yeah.
Sleep is one of them. Like, if you don't pay attention to your sleep, everything else will go to shit.
It's a spiritual practice for me. I'm not joking. And I'll say that to people and they go, that's amazing. And I would say, you know, I would sleep when my kids were napped when they were babies. I haven't stopped. And now that I've got some kind of rhythm back because the kids are back into school in the UK, mm-hmm. I have 2 to 3 every day. No one gets in. I don't answer any calls. I don't speak to anyone. And I will do this practice called Yoga Nidra, which is amazing. All perimenopausal women should know about it. It's basic. I won't go on about it because we're not talking.
No. Go on about it now.
It's amazing. So I teach it now as well. But it's like a little, it can be a little 10, 15 minute practice. It's like yoga lying down, but it resets you completely. All of my female friends who do yoga or teach yoga, obviously I know a lot of yoga teachers, they all practice it, all of them.
So you're in Shavasana, is that right? So you're
well, you can be in bed.
Right.
In bed, on the floor, socks on, blankets, pillows, whole deal. And you basically go through this, it takes you what's called through the hypnagogic state, which you will go through if you're hypnotized or having hypnotherapy. And then it sort of leaves you in that state between being awake and being asleep and dreaming. So everything's connected. Your central nervous system is still connected to the body in Yoga Nidra. So you are, it's an altered state of consciousness. But what it does is it allows the body to totally rest, sort of opens up the mind. Mm. It's a total game changer.
Wow.
And I would say, it's top 3, if not number 1, in my perimenopausal journey.
So you do this 2 to 3 times a day or 3 times a day?
I do it once a day.
Once a day.
If not twice a day.
Right.
My teacher does it 3 times a day, and she said if she didn't and she hadn't, she wouldn't be alive.
Wow.
She's just like, it saved my life. Because she's a workaholic.
Right. Amazing.
Amazing. It's just understanding your body as a woman.
And it's also about courage. I think it's about taking the courage to say, actually, I'm going to take this. You might be looking at me taking myself upstairs and lying down in bed. You might just see that. But what I'm doing is I'm guarding. I'm sort of guarding for the future. I think that's, it's like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a preemptive strike almost, is that women need to kind of go, I'm not going to wait for the shit to hit the fan. I'm going to just start doing this shit right now. Yeah.
It's total commitment to yourself.
Mm.
That's what the menopause is about. It's like, I'm going to show up for myself. And I will say this. I'm like, I love my kids, I love my husband, but I am number one. And that is probably what saved me. You know, I'm not in great shape. But
what do you mean you're not in great shape?
Well, you know, my joints hurt. But, you know, I really show up for myself, like 100% all the time.
And that's just doubling back. Sorry to keep. Yeah. But was that a change for you when you started really committing to this?
Yeah, really.
So that was a change for you. And so how did that impact on your relationship with your husband?
Oh my God. oh my God.
I feel like I asked the right question or the wrong. I don't know. I don't know whether it's the wrong one, but.
I mean, it opens up so much. It's hard. But then again, you know, he's on a big learning journey.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel that in my house, I am changing history. You know?
Wow.
That's how I feel. And that makes me really difficult to live with because I'm like, no, no half measures. It's like, I am doing this to change the future for all women. That is how I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck.
I know the fact, I mean, I'm totally in with you on that one. And I think that it would be interesting, your husband, my husband in a room and see what they would say to each other, because I feel very galvanized. And I think it takes, there's a lot of women who are doing things, you know, we're not on our own. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of women who are thinking about this issue, but I think there is something when you say, I'm not just doing this for myself, but I am also not going to accept. It was like you're saying about half measures, but it's also that thing of, if you say something that I disagree with that, I don't know, offends me as a woman, or I mean, I've got boys. I don't know what gender your children are, but I've got two boys, which means that I know I feel incredibly responsible for raising boys who are incredibly aware of not only themselves and issues that affect them, but issues that affect women. And I don't want them to be wankers. I mean, I couldn't put it more plainly. I don't want them to be male wankers. And my husband is very enlightened, lovely, beautiful man. But I think because society is what it is and has always been, every now and again, he'll say something and there's a boys will be boys thing, which I absolutely loathe. And I think now, and it has definitely been in the last year or maybe the last even just maybe the last 6 months, and more so since I've started doing this podcast, bless him, that I will be like, no, you're not going to say that to the kids. I'm not having that. No, boys, that's not, you know what I mean? And just kind of unpicking. Yeah. I will just say, because he's wonderful, that he has also said, I am incredibly proud of you doing this menopause podcast and all the stuff that you're going to be doing with that and helping to change women. You know, so he totally understands it. But it is, as you say, for him also, this huge learning journey where he's having to go, okay, I haven't thought about it from that angle. But for me, what I see in terms of menopause is I see a lot of echo chamber. And I understand I think it's brilliant women talking to women, and it needs to happen, and it needs to happen more. And hopefully things like this and other conversations and books and stuff that's happening and stuff that you're doing is going to increase that. So more women feel like they can get involved in that conversation. But what also needs to happen is that we need to fucking talk to men. The society needs to understand it can't just be a women's issue. I fucking hate that. Oh, it's a women's issue. It's like, any issue that affects any part of our population is an issue, not a woman's issue. Like, yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah, sort out the language. It's really important.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And just, yeah, and kind of see it that it impacts. Because it's like saying, so you're a man, okay, you came out of a vagina, so presumably somewhere you have a woman who owns that vagina who is going to go through menopause. You maybe have a sister, you know, there's no one in the world that menopause doesn't impact on.
Yeah.
So why is it a woman's issue, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I ranted there.
It's like, let it all out.
Yeah.
You know, so much to be let out.
I know. I feel like we might have to do Rachel part two. It'll be like Friends. You know,
wait, I'm here. I'll be in the room.
Yes.
Waiting for more.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. Because I feel like you haven't even told me what your menopause has been like.
I mean,
it sounds like it's been glorious and terrible. And
yeah, I mean, you know, I quite often will say that in my work, that, you know, it's about the glorious and the horrific. You've got to hold it. They've got to hold them together. They, you know, they coexist. It's been amazing. I mean, it has changed me beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, I am a total badass because of my menopause, you know, and it's
unapologetic.
I mean, I will speak to pretty much everyone about my menopause. It, you know, at the school gate, waiting to get a coffee. Not that I drink a lot of coffee now. That's another thing. It's like, I really love the fact I'm going through the menopause. It's really empowered me. You know, I've become a bit of an activist. It just, it's given me real courage in the world.
That's amazing. I love that. I absolutely fucking love that message, because out of everything that I'm trying to get across with this podcast, and it's many layered, and I don't know what's going to happen in every conversation. So people will take what they will. But from my perspective, I feel, I mean, I'm not actively in menopause, but I will be. And I feel weirdly excited about going through it. I feel empowered at this part of my life. I feel like there's an opportunity to take control, because hormones have done so much to us over the years. And, you know, every single month you're kind of going, I mean, from my perspective, I'm always like, what's the point in getting on the scales? Because how do I even know if that's how much I weigh? Because it could be I'm retaining fluid, or it could be that I'm about to ovulate.
Like,
you know, yes, I know. No, I'm not there yet, Rachel.
Bloody number.
I know. Do you not weigh yourself then?
Not anymore.
That's really fascinating. When did you stop doing that?
I kind of go on and off with it, but maybe 6 months ago, I go on and off with it. Weighing myself is bad. Bad juju. It really messes up my day, my life. That is my Achilles heel, is my sort of weird relationship with my body. So, you know, we were talking about dungarees early on.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Celebration.
It's something around, I want my clothes to fit my body, right? My body is amazing. It's an amazing body. And, you know, I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to fit into stuff that I think, why should I look like that?
Mm.
You know, and I'm sort of in this phase at the moment that I'm really realizing, I'm sort of doing some reading around like anti-diet culture, and I'm realizing that all of this stuff about size, weight, blah blah blah, mm-hmm. is another way to keep us small. Literally, I am not small. In my essence, this is a you know, I will talk sort of around a lot of spirituality around, but, you know, we all have spirits. Everyone's spiritual, you know. We're not just a walking blob of flesh. There's other stuff to human beings.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
My essence is massive, you know, and I often say that sometimes there's the little way marker in my menopause where I was probably standing in a bra because, you know, I was going through the kind of hot, flushy phase, which I'm sort of still in. And I could just feel my being expand into my whole house. I mean, it's been hard for my family, you know, but brilliant for me. I was like, the capacity I feel now, you know, even though I have to rest and take care, I'm incredibly capable and very powerful. You come into a phase of really deep, well, you can. So I have this theory about menopause. Women can become the amazing beings that they're meant to be, especially around this phase. Or, and you might start to notice this now, some women shut it down because of societal pressures. And they go into this weird navy blue, brown, beige wearing vibe and cut all their hair off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But, I totally do. I think it's to do with courage in a way. I suppose it's like anything. When you come across a challenge, there are those people, and it's not especially about women, but there are those people who will take the challenge. They'll wear it in a bright blue bandana on their head and say, I'm going through this fucking shit, people, and I don't mind if you see me going through this shit. And then there's other people who will not feel that that's something that they can do, and they will, just kind of hide themselves away. And I think, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's one of those things where it's like you've been given a fireball and you have the opportunity to either sort of, I don't know, like run with it, even though it hurts you, even though it hurts your hands, that you're kind of running with it like the Olympic torch and being like, okay, I've got the fireball. I'm coming. Or you can kind of take the fireball and the fact that it hurts you and you put it down and then you kind of just sit there and put it in your house and try and dampen it down and get a fire extinguisher and you sort of do that. And I think that's quite a good way. Like, that's kind of how I see it. It's like, I've definitely got the fireball.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the fireball.
Yeah. And that's, for me, that was the early stages of it. So there's that. And then one thing that is very, does stretch out and is sort of a common sort of, I don't even know what you would call it, theme.
Yeah.
Is the feeling of the unknown.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned the word control. You have no control over this process. Mm. So the sooner that you're able to sort of into the fact that you're not really going to know what's going on for however long it's going to last, you sort of get used to that. And you have to get used to it because there is a phase when you stop bleeding, right? And I was really attached to my blood. You know, certainly from my 40s, I started to really enjoy my periods because I really understood them. I understood how they made me feel. And when, you know, my period started, I started to notice this kind of, in my body. I was like, it was almost sort of some sort of, it's sort of ecstatic, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. And then I was like, okay, there's, and then I had to move through when I wasn't getting that every month. And now, you know, I'm about half a year without having had a period. And I can feel it. I can feel now the stage of the menopause that I'm at. Like, I know it. But I've been going through it since 2015. So, of course, I know it. Like, I'm 6 years in.
With not having your periods, what impact is that? Do you still feel a hormonal change? Is there still that element to it?
Yeah, so I sort of haven't quite got a handle on this now, but I know a lot of women say that you start to sort of sync with the moon, you know, so you have your cycle still, and I definitely still have cycles. But I'm just not, like, I haven't felt into it yet. Sort of, I'm sort of in like a limb, like I'm in a holding place. I feel very different. A little bit calmer, I would say. And you hear women say that, post-menopausal women, they're like, you know, this is gone.
Yes.
I sort of feel, I mean, I don't know yet. It's too early.
Yeah, it's quite, 6 months in.
It's too early for me, you know? And I would say if I looked back, I sort of had phases of certain groups of symptoms. Mm. And I know a lot more about it now, but it is amazing. It is amazing, without a shadow of a doubt.
Do you think, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this recently and obviously having lots of conversations, and I feel more connected to women like women in my tribe, I feel very much part of that. I think I just appreciate women on a completely different level to what I've done previously. And I can't work out how that's going to impact or whether it's going to impact on my relationship with men in general, you know, and also my husband. It's kind of because there are times where men do things or maybe let's society, but let's not kid ourselves. Society is kind of shaped by men and male ideals.
Yeah.
And they do something and it kind of makes me so fucking angry and cross about why is that even, just even silly things where someone will use a turn of phrase on the radio. And I think, why did you have to frame it like that? Why? Because you've made your co-presenter or whatever it is, the person you're talking to who is female, feel stupid or looks, you know, why?
Not okay.
It's quite hard, isn't it? When you're married to a man, but there are times when you feel like men are shit.
I don't know if you've noticed this in your conversations or asked this question, but it's an interesting one to consider. Many perimenopausal women I know, and, you know, a lot of them are my friends, will say, I'd just rather, you know, move in with you and the kids. Really common.
Yeah.
Women want to hang out with each other.
Yeah.
There's a thought that, you know, your estrogen starts to drop. Your levels of estrogen start to drop. And estrogen is the kind of, I'll look after you, I'll cook for you, I'll feed you. I mean, I don't know if you have this, but sometimes I'm like, and even to my children, fucking get your own breakfast.
100%.
That is, you know, not only where we're at, it's a biological thing. Mm. We become more like men. They don't like it. It's like, well, this is what you're like.
Yeah. Yes. This is exactly right. Yeah.
It's so much, so nuanced, but actually so straightforward. It's like, this is happening to 50% of the population worldwide, you know, and take care of our bodies, take care of our rest, take care of our movement. If we move and eat well and sleep a lot, it will go better.
Mm. Wow. I mean, I definitely think that you and I need to have another session. Rachel, part two. Tip.
I feel like we've not even started.
I know. But I mean, it's been absolutely amazing to talk to you. I think that there's been a real synergy in terms of our thought processes. But it's so nice to have that conversation with someone where there's a lot of kind of yes, that's how I feel. And it's not because I haven't had that conversation. I mean, I've had amazing conversations with so many fantastic women so far, and it's been fascinating to hear their experiences. And some of them have been very different to mine, and my journey really is very, very, you know, I'm right sort of at the beginning. But you've been inspirational today, Rachel, honestly. And I really think that people will listen to this, and there will be, I hope that there'll be some light bulb moments for people where they realize that the menopause does not need to mean, it just doesn't need to be a negative. You know, it really, really doesn't. And it's about ownership. It's the fireball, you know, put some heatproof gloves on, fuckers, take the fireball and run for the hills. That's what
and,
I say.
And talk to your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. Brilliant. Talk to your body. Don't even talk to it. Listen to it.
Listen to it, yeah.
You know, listen to it. You don't have to take HRT. Or if you're really into it, it's also okay to take HRT.
Yes, exactly.
Listen to your body. Your body will tell you.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to session two already.
Oh, so
like, I don't know, we could maybe have gin or something. Rachel, queen of the tips. Goodbye.
Brilliant. That was me and Rachel taking on the change. Next week, I'll be talking to Karen, whose positive experience with HRT helped her launch a brand new career. If you would like to get involved with taking on the change, please get in touch. Pop us an email at friendsforlifeproductions@gmail.com, or you can find me and a friend on Twitter and Instagram And don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to Taking on the Change on Spotify, Apple, or your usual podcast provider. Taking on the Change is a Friends for Life production. It was created by Anna Friend and produced by Samuel Jones.